Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. This program is brought to you today and every single day by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What is your beef? It's Tuesday. I've got a What's Your Beef segment coming up next hour. So I would encourage you to start calling me right now with whatever you want to hit on. 1-800-636-8686. What's your beef? Maybe you don't have beef. You want to come with something positive, that's fine too. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Tweet your beef. Hit me with something positive on Twitter. Or email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so the interview is set up like this. I've got one coming up later on this hour. A national NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. Therese Paylor. Evan Fournier, Orlando Magic. Guard forward coming up in hour number two. And I've got the head football coach at Miami University of Ohio, Chuck Martin. That's in the third hour. You've got your telephone number. We're winding down now. December 10th. Coming to the end of the year. And we've got a lot to get done between now and then. So don't waste any time. Why don't we start with that epic matchup from last night? You know, there was a time when Giants-Eagles on a Monday night was a really good thing. In fact, a great thing. You know, something you'd look forward to. Something you'd schedule your day, if not your entire week around. You remember those days. Last night was not one of those nights. The 2-10 Giants against the 5-7 Eagles after a monsoon. Man, that didn't offer anybody anything. That was nothing to get hyped about. Unless you're an Eagle fan. Unless you're an Eagle fan, there was no reason to watch that game or think about that game. Nor if you're a Giants fan. Hell, if you're a Giants fan, the only reason to watch that game was to see if your guys could extend their losing streak to 9 games and preserve their chance of getting Ohio State stud Chase Young. That's the only reason to watch that game. But then suddenly, you know who came off the bench and started doing things like this.
Shotgun snap, sets his feet, line drive, throw on a slant, belt high catch. It was made there by the wide receiver coming on the near side. Slayton from the 20 to the 10, down the sideline into the end zone, a touchdown. Slayton got it, spinning off a tackler, racing down the near sideline, a 35-yard strike.
That's Westwood One. Damn. Like, who's the new guy? The new guy looks all right. Wait a minute. The new guy is the same as the old guy. It's freaking Eli Manning. And you know what? I'm going to be real. It felt pretty good to see old man Eli out there. Because he looked better than he has in a long time. My man was actually out there slinging it.
Eli back to throw. Has time. He's going to take a deep shot down the left sideline. And it's caught! And then knocked out of bounds is Slayton inside the 30-yard line, out at the Philadelphia 30.
Giants radio on the call. I mean, damn, look at that old man. Look at that old man dropping dimes. No pun intended. Don't sue me, Danny. No pun intended. But damn, Eli Manning to Darius Slayton was unstoppable. There isn't a scheme to stop that. Nobody has anything to combat that. Especially the sad sack Eagles. So that led to a field goal. Then there was this one to close out the first half.
Gets the snap, drops back, got a block from Barkley, winds up, arching spiral near side. Slayton over the shoulder, catch to the 20, down the near side, the 10, chase to the 5, pylon, touchdown! The Giants have scored again! Eli Manning with a long touchdown pass, 55 yards! Booze cascading down here in Philadelphia toward the hometown Eagles. This is stunning.
That was stunning. That was vintage Eli Manning. Did you see how geeked he was? Did you see how fired up his teammates were? That was the start of something amazing. A great story. Story being, the double champ comes off the canvas, lights it up, gives the Giants one final memory of him going into Philly and punking the rival Eagles on a Monday night when Eli had long ago been left for dead. Left for Pate, Arch, and Coop to come clean out his locker and bring him home. But not before Eli stabs Philly in the heart one last time. And he goes out in one last blaze of glory. Going into halftime 17-3. That's exactly how it looked. Man, it was awesome. It was glorious. But then the Giants remembered they were the Giants. They promptly backed out of the locker room, and then choked that game away. I would love to know exactly what Pat Shurmur told his team at halftime. It must have been something along the lines of, hey, look, I don't know who the hell you think you are or what the hell you all think you're doing, but you can go ahead and stop that right now. This is not who we are. This is not what we do. I don't even recognize you people anymore. Now trust the bleeping process, and let's get back to playing Giants football. And that's exactly what they did. Don't tell me that Shurmur can't make adjustments, because he took a team that was playing pretty well in the first half and adjusted them into the sorry crew of ballers that they've been all year long. You know Shurmur went to the offense and said, you're gouging them. You've already lit them up for 225 yards. Enough of that. You go for even 50 more yards in the second half, I will have a boot in your ass. And as for you, Darius Slayton, who the hell do you think you are? Amani Toomer, Plex, Victor Cruz, all of them rolled into one? What do you say you dial it back, hero? Stop making plays. Stop making it about yourself. Make sure you drop a critical third down pass late in the fourth quarter. Oh, and defense. Y'all look like you knew what you were doing in the first half. In other words, this is not who we are. This is not how we practice. This is not how we play. You're giving America the wrong freaking impression. Stop doing everything right and go back to getting it all wrong. Go back to being confused. Go back to being out of position. Go back to being unprepared. Refuse to stop Boston Scott whenever he has the ball. Forget your assignments. And definitely make sure you leave Philadelphia's most dangerous weapon wide open when it matters most. All right, y'all got that? Everybody? All right, everyone, bring it in. Choke on three. One, two, three. Choke! That's exactly what they did, too. They came out in the second half, and they let Philadelphia right back into it. The Giants saw an Eagles team that was on a three-game losing streak, who had just played a horrible half, was losing guys to injury left and right, and thought, damn, this is getting away from us. We're taking our eyes off the prize. We've got a few dudes going rogue on us and trying and executing. We need to pull together right now. We need to man the hell down and find a way to lose to this team. And then they did just that. Philadelphia scored late in the third, made it 17-10. Then with less than 2 minutes to go, Carson Wentz found Zach Ertz.
Gets the snap, fakes the handoff. Here comes the blitz, a quick throw in the end zone. Caught, touchdown, underneath, down the middle, lunging two-handed grab, Zach Ertz. Two-yard touchdown pass. And the Eagles to within a point of tying, and they bring out the extra point team. And try to tie the game with 1:53 to go.
Still, Westwood won. All right, so I'm clear about one thing. I mean, respect, I guess, for the Eagles, for how they battled. They did go into the game with three healthy receivers and then lost two of them. They were so banged up and so beaten down that Ertz was playing wide receiver and 40-year-old quarterback Josh McCown was getting ready to play receiver. Wentz said that they had to wear... or they were down so many guys on offense, he was, quote, seeing routes I've never even read before in those situations.
Some of these routes I've never even read before in those situations.
Right, Carson, because you had guys out there that you probably didn't even know. He's probably like, hey, you, whoever you are, just get open. Hey, you, home slice, watch your face. Run to that light post over there. The ball will be there when you turn around to look for it. Fact is, it really didn't matter who lined up for the Eagles. The Giants were going to find a way to give them that game. That's who the Giants are. That's what they do. And that's not me talking. That's their supposed once-in-a-lifetime generational back, Saquon Barkley, talking.
We're a team that finds a way to lose a lot of games. That's our team. We're just inconsistent for both. We find a way to lose games. We got to find a way to turn that to the other side and find a way to win games. When is that going to happen? I have no idea.
He just said it. We're a team that finds a lot of ways to lose games. Quote, we got to find a way to win games. When is that going to happen? I have no idea. End quote. Me neither, big dude. Me neither, but I know this. The Giants had to really want to lose that game in order to actually lose that game. And they did. And there was no greater demonstration of finding a way to lose than forgetting to cover Zach Ertz in OT.
Shotgun snap. Looks, packs his arm, throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Ertz underneath the crossbar! Eagles have won the game in overtime!
ball game. Thanks for coming, and thank you for wasting 3 hours of my life that I'll never get back. How does that happen? I mean, seriously, answer the question. How does that happen? Zach Ertz is a really big dude. He's listed at 6'5", 250. He's really good at the sport of football. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's the guy who scored the game-tying touchdown. He pretty much was the only viable target for Carson Wentz. And yet, somehow in overtime, on the most important play of the game, there is not a Giants player within 10 yards of this guy. If there was any player that you definitely wanted to cover on that play, it was Zach Ertz. And yet, this guy somehow is completely wide-ass open. That's how you know you're committed to losing. That's how you lose 9 straight games to tie a franchise record. And that is why head coach Pat Shurmur was asked if he thought that he would still be coaching and would have a chance to go for the record. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I do. But we'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Wow. Not exactly Rod Marinelli's shovel and pick speech, is it? In other words, Shurmur's shovel is dull. And his will is the opposite of outstanding. Hey, listen, if it sounds like I'm angry about this, if you're thinking, damn, Rome, what are you so worked up about? It's because I am angry about this. It's because it's personal. It is. And no, it's got nothing to do with some whack Hollywood slash redemption story for Eli Manning. I don't care about that. You can all waste your own time arguing about whether or not a quarterback who is under 500 lifetime is a Hall of Famer or not. And no, it's not because I, quote, lost a bet on the game. Why would I bet a game like that? That's not it. No, I am more important fish to fry here. I am pissed, I'll admit that, but here's why. The Giants destroyed the dream. My dream. One that should be your dream, too. The dream of a 6-10 team winning a division. They took that from me. They took that from me. I don't ask for much in life. I try and do the right things. I try to give you a good show every single day. And if anything positive comes my way because of that, great. But I do not get attached to the outcomes. But I'll be honest, a 6-10 divisional champ was something I wanted. And I wanted that badly. I mean, who needs a mediocre team with a mediocre record in the playoffs? Nobody's. Nobody, I should say. What we want is a bad team with a truly hideous record, winning the division and raising a division banner and hosting a playoff game. We all want that. And is that really too much to ask? Apparently so. Apparently holding on to a 14-point lead with 30 minutes to go was just too much to ask of the New York Giants. Apparently covering one really big dude who's the only possible target was too much to ask. Apparently tackling Boston Scott, a former practice squad player, was too much to ask. And I guess picking up first downs on offense was just too big of a hassle. If you clowns want to go out there and lose every single game, that's fine. Be my guest. But when you have a chance to make history by paving the way for a 6-10 division champ, you better not blow a 2-touchdown lead in the second half. Because when you do that, you don't just let yourselves down, you let me down. And frankly, when you're as bad as you are, it's no longer about you, it's about me. Now, because of that hideous choke job in the second half and overtime, the Eagles get their 6th win. The best we can get is a 7-9 division champ. And I don't even want to think about the possibility of somebody winning that division at 8-8. When you have the dream of a 6-10 division champ for as long as I've had it, and then it gets ripped from you, 7-9 does not feel that good. 8-8 makes me sick. I hope you're happy, G-Men, because you just ruined everything. Not just for yourselves, but more importantly for the rest of us. But that's what happens when you're selfish. That's what happens when you don't do your job. And if it sounds like I'm pissed, it's because I am pissed. Thanks. Thanks for nothing.
1-800. Nothing.
We get nothing.
You lose.
I wanted that so badly. A 6-10 division winner. A 6-10 division winner hanging a division banner and hosting a playoff game. If something seems too good to be true. All right, so your thoughts on that? Oh, the Patriots back in the news. Quote, the Cheatriots. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I'll give you my thoughts. Lane Kiffin back in the SEC. You know I'll get there. In fact, some of you are already on that. Rome, even I think the NFC East is lethargic and bloated. Regards, Lane Kiffin. Signed, Craig, no longer in Tampa. We're a hot dog eating contest between Lane Kiffin and Papa John. First one to 200 wins. Who you got? Lane or the Papa?
40 pizzas in 30 days.
40 pizzas in 30 days, 200 dogs in 1 hour. Lane Kiffin already addressed how he might have chunked up a little bit. He's killing it already. Rome Slice, so excited to be a part of the SEC. I think it stands for Spaghetti, Egg McMuffin, Cheetos. Regards, Candy Cane Blimpin. Geoff and Lincoln wore smoke ribs, eat chips like Lane Kiffin. Smoke ribs, eat chips like Lane Kiffin. Get off this guy's back. I'm here to give this guy love. I'm here to give this guy respect. I'm here to talk this guy up. And I will. Again, the question, clones. All of you killing this guy for being fat, for being candy cane liffin. Kiffin, I should say. How much do you weigh? How often are you in the gym? What kind of a diet are you on? Are you eating clean? Are you eating lean? Do you look awesome? Or are you fatter than the people you constantly crack on? Don't be a hypocrite. Look in the mirror. You check out Le'Veon Bell. Could not go because he had the flu, but apparently was not too sick to bowl the night before, which is awesome. All of that is still ahead. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up. Clones, what do we want when we need protein or we need more energy? I'm going to answer that by telling you what you do not want. You don't want another bar or a sugary snack or an energy drink. What you want is beef. Let's go old school with it. Pure and simple. Beef. Where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky, shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak, plus quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. That way, it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. What makes it so good? I can answer that too. It is the company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef and their business very seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four amazing flavors. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go. To the beach, to the gym, to the game, anywhere at all. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper. What's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a key AFC South showdown between Deshaun Watson and the Texans. They're going up against the Titans, who have played great football since Ryan Tannehill took over. Others will see Kansas City hosting Denver and other regional action. It all begins with JB and the fellas setting the day up on the NFL today at 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. I'm not making a run back this weekend. My next appearance is for the AFC Championship game. So who we got this weekend? Some reaction to the Patriots. I've not done the story yet, but you know what it is. This email says, "Hi, Jim. I canon believe, Alvin. Actually, I need the ding or the chime. We're going to count them out. I canon believe they did it again. I shudder at the thought of the hoodie cheating. But lens focus here. The Bengals? Oh, snap. Looks like they've been exposed again. They better explain in a flash." Salty Sarah T. Trying to get cute with it. Trying to get clever with it. This says, "Dear Jim, we absolutely believe the NFC East has an amazingly high level of competition. High performance Lee Yours, the Arkansas Spelling Bee, the Wisconsin CrossFit Games, and the Portland Woman's Sun, Tan, and Body Wax Competition." Signed, Denlesk's aspiring hack-off caller. All right, two things. There's Portland Woman, as was so graphically illustrated by a caller back in the day. And this notion of, quote, the Wisconsin CrossFit Games. I've been in Madison when they had the CrossFit Championships. It's a real thing. CrossFitters do go to that town. That's actually where they hold their championship. I saw it one weekend. They were everywhere. It was serious. So you can make light of the, quote, Arkansas Spelling Bee or Portland Woman's Sun, Tan, and Body Wax Competition.
Well, you know what? We got this phenomenon up here in Oregon, and I call it Portland Woman. Portland Woman, she doesn't shave. She doesn't clean up. They put her on TV. Turn on any Portland channel with a local show. You'll find Portland Woman showing off her stuff, gray hair, no makeup, all the wrinkles to boot, and the clothing is something else. You can see the stain. So, anyways, to Portland Woman, please, please, do us all a favor and clean it up. That's all I got, Romy.
Hey, listen, I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, all the power to Portland Woman. That's fine. Who cares? Don't give in. It's not what it's about. It's about what's on the inside, not on the outside. It's not about the stains on her clothing or the gray hair or the fact that she won't clean it up. In fact, more power to her if that's all true. But the, quote, Wisconsin CrossFit Games, that's a bad line, Dan Les, because that does exist. That's a real thing. I've seen them in and outside the gym in Madison. And one more email. Rome, let me just get ahead of this and say, yes, our team cheats. Our team is built on a pile of lies. That is the only reason why our team wins. Blah, blah, blah. Can we just skip this sixth installment of the Patriots are not the classiest organization of all time? Let's put it aside. The snowblower game, Spygate, Aaron Hernandez, Deflategate, Masseusegate, and now this. Maybe the three-person subcontracted crew that was filming the Patriots TV show can make their way to New York and teach the league officials how to properly review tape, since they apparently couldn't see a blatant offensive PI call from Kelsey and the ball that was spotted a yard farther than it should have been to give the Chiefs a first down. No biggie, though. Hey, listen, I'm not saying the league doesn't have other issues. I'm not saying the league doesn't have other problems. But... And I'm not even saying that the Patriots knowingly cheated, but if somebody was going to do this, it was going to be the Patriots, right? It had to be. Who else would find themselves in the situation they find themselves in right now? Only the Patriots. Now, that doesn't mean they cheated. They might be cheating. Or maybe it is what they say it is. A production crew that's got nothing to do with football ops, that didn't know they were doing anything wrong. It was an innocent mistake. It was an accident. Maybe. Possibly. I guess. But then again, if you're that team and you've got the rap sheet that team has, wouldn't you be a little more careful? 1-800-636-8686. The Patriots have owned it. They know it was wrong. They're copping to it, but they're insisting that we didn't know. We know what we did was wrong. We didn't know it at the time. And in fact, it's not even we. It's a production crew. You buy any of that? I'll get into it in a minute. Nola Nooch tweets, nothing better than a day off with a couple of blunts, a couple of beers, and a couple hours with Jim Rome. They actually have a few things better than that. It's on the short list, though. Here I am, Nooch. What's up, kid? Bake on. What time is it in New Orleans? It's got to be 11:30. So you got off to a pretty early start. Not like that early start that a lot of business guys I see on airplanes at 7 a.m. when they're smashing scotch get off to. That's earlier. Ike's laughing like, yeah, man, I feel you. That's how I roll. That's my deal. All of us old guys do that.
It's lit.
It's Rit. Rit found Danny DeVito, and I interviewed him yesterday. That's our Wednesday podcast. Mark the Nomad tweets, why does Lane Kiffin look like he ate Lane Kiffin? I'm shocked whenever you see a head coach who's in really good shape. Given the lifestyle, given the work ethic, given how much time they spend at the facility, and given how you know so many of them probably grab food on the run, I'm shocked that all of them don't look like they ate Lane Kiffin. But I'm here to praise Lane, not bury Lane, which I will be doing shortly. First up, though, Therese Paylor. He joins me next. We're talking football with him. Evan Fournier, Orlando Magic player in hour number two. Time right now for a sports update. Don't forget your beefs. I need your beef. Email me a beef. Tweet me a beef. Call the show with a beef. We'll have that for you next hour. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so once again, get after it. Multiple phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686, and I will get to them a little bit later on, but we are joined right now by a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is Therese Paylor. Therese, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for having me on, man.
Always good to have you. All right, so a number of things I want to get with you about, but why don't we start in New Orleans, because you were in the Dome for that game this past weekend. It was your first time being in the Superdome for a serious game with a crowd that was going that crazy. For those who have never been in that Dome, what's the experience like, and how tough is it to concentrate and focus?
Jim, I've been to basically every NFL stadium. I think I've counted, like, there's one I haven't been to, like Tampa. I'll tell you this right now. And that place is packed for a big game. It's hard to find a louder place. The media's sitting all the way at the top, and like the media table was shaking. That's how loud it was. It's a great atmosphere, and to me, as loud as it was with the way the Saints were playing, for Jimmy Garoppolo to do what he did, lead that team back, Kyle Shanahan, clutch play calling. A team can perform like that in a situation like that tells me they've got a Super Bowl ceiling.
You know, I was going to say, you've had some time to think about this now. When you think about how hostile that environment was, how sharp Drew Brees was that day, and you've had some time to think on that, reflect on that, how big of a win was that for the 49ers?
I think it's huge because, let's face it, in some of the 49ers' other big games this year, Garoppolo hasn't played great. He's been okay, but you had a few questions about, okay, when it gets down to it, how is he going to perform in the playoffs? That is the ultimate playoff atmosphere. And Sean Payton and Kyle Shanahan, like, you can tell both of them were really, really trying to win the game. They were throwing out wrinkles. Jim, those are two great defenses now. I watch a lot of tape, hours and hours of tape. And those are two really, really good defenses. For both those teams to put up nearly 50 points tells you both those play callers added in wrinkles to what they had been doing because they knew how important that game was. So for the Niners to go into that place and win that game tells me everything I need to know about what they can accomplish this year. And it's a lot. This team can absolutely get to the Super Bowl.
We are talking to senior NFL writer for Yahoo and a Hall of Fame voter, Therese Paylor. I think you're right. I think that game, my thought was they're good. They might even be Super Bowl good. And Jimmy Garoppolo really did step up, to your point. When this guy needed somebody to make a play, of course, he went looking for his tight end, George Kittle. What was going through your head, Therese, when you saw him make that play at the end of the game? And then what were the types of things his teammates were saying about him and that play?
Absolute beast, first of all, with complete beast mode. And you're watching him make the play and the catch. And that's a concept they typically go to. It was a choice route to Kittle. They had a couple receivers in front of him. Kittle was lined up off the line of scrimmage. The two receivers went downfield, drawing the coverage away, and then Kittle could go inside or out based on the coverage he got. He saw Chauncey Gardner-Johnson sitting inside, so he went out. Great route. And then it's like, okay, here's a big gain here. So the Saints they have a pretty salty secondary. You know, they'll come hit you. Those guys play with a little attitude. The first guy should have brought him down around the 45. He gets touched at the 50. You know, he drags him 5 yards. Okay. But that's not happening. I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening here? So down to the 40-yard line. Here come a couple more guys. And Kittle just continues to go beast mode on this play 17 yards after he was first touched. It's the kind of play that shows how special he is as a player. It's the kind of play that even though he's 26, he's a team captain. It shows why. And also, after the game, you know what his teammates told me? They were using phrases like GOAT. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. Multiple teammates told me that independent of each other. He's a very special player, and he's somebody that they obviously need to win in a big game because they went right to him when it really mattered. And I think the combination of him and Emmanuel Sanders is good enough to win on the big stage as targets.
Therese Paylor joining us. All right, so let's go to the AFC really quickly. The Chiefs beat the Patriots in New England on Sunday, and now there's some other news surrounding the Patriots, which I'll get to in a minute. But as somebody who knows that Kansas City team really well, what do you make of the way they showed up in Foxborough?
I think if you're a Chiefs fan, what you're doing is you're watching that game, and you feel happy and encouraged because for the first time in years in a big game, your defense didn't just take it. You weren't just playing soft, bend but don't break defense. For the first time, you saw the Chiefs really take it to those guys offensively with stunts, games, blitz schemes, well executed too. Look, I've watched the Chiefs for a long time. I was a beat writer for them for a long time before I became a national guy. And it's been a long time since I've seen the Chiefs execute stunts like that, execute blitzes that way. It was timed so well. And those are the kind of things that you've got to have in place in doing well in the playoffs because in today's NFL, offenses are so supercharged, you got to be able to go get it on defense and make stuff happen. And to me, the scheme they had translates defensively to January and the players they have too, Jim. Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, these guys are dogs and they compete. And they've kind of brought a swagger and edge to this defense. So the Chiefs are winning games now without their offense being like the 99 Rams, which you couldn't say last year. That's a great step for this team, and it's one that you hope would continue into January. I will say this real quick. It was obvious the Chiefs were going to win that game. They threw in some wrinkles that they hadn't shown in previous weeks. It's going to be very important for them in a month or so when January comes for them to add in wrinkles to the wrinkles because now that stuff is on tape. And if they do face the Patriots again, they will have counters for them.
Therese Paylor joining us, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. All right, so what about the Patriots? They're going to face Cincinnati. And in Zach Taylor's press conference yesterday, he was asked about a report that the Patriots had somebody in the press box who was filming the Bengals sideline. Let me ask you this. Is this just standard operating procedure that a lot of teams do pieces on advanced scouts where they accidentally film the sideline of an opponent? Or are people freaking out because it's the Patriots? Is it unusual or not?
Look, it's newsworthy. It's newsworthy. And I will say this. It is the Patriots, so that's going to add a heightened sense to it, okay? But I've talked to some evaluators, people in the league over the last 24 hours. The general sense I got is, okay, let's find out what's on the tape, first of all. And second of all, listen, they're doing stuff that I think teams do, right? But it's like tampering in the NFL. Hey, everybody kind of does it, but if you get caught, you got to get punished. Those are the rules. So depending on what they found on those tapes, and I saw there's some reports kind of out there showing that the tape does show hand signals, teams are expecting punishment. They want to see some punishment, Jim. They do. Because guess what? They got caught. So it doesn't really matter if other teams do the same things. They do. They've long been doing it. It's part of the culture. But they still want to see the punishment come. And if you're the Patriots, who kind of had a history for this, you got to know that you can't have this. And it's a bad look. So you got to be more careful than other teams. So the past history, the optics of it, they don't look good. And for that, you're going to get punished.
So what kind of a punishment do you think would fit that crime if they did the crime?
You know, I think that's a good question. But I really try to be reasonable on things like this. So, like, you know, are we talking about forfeiting game? No. Are we talking about firing Bell? Like, no. Like, nothing like that. I think a massive fine will do, a loss of draft picks, that'll hurt them. You know, a pick or picks, a premium pick, you know, that'll hurt them. You want to suspend somebody for a little while, you can do that too. I think that's all reasonable based on the history in the past. Things they've had to deal with the Patriots on this subject. But I will tell you this, talking to people throughout the league, they do want to see some sort of punishment in the realm of the things that I've talked about.
We're talking to Therese Paylor. Hey, listen, I don't know exactly what they were thinking. I don't know what they were doing. I think they got to know better. The Bengals seem to think, though, that they were looking for an edge because the Bengals quickly sent that tape to the NFL. Listen, before I let you go, the Titans, I want to switch up for a moment. They went on the road. They put 42 on the Raiders to win their fourth straight. That is 6 of 7. How impressed are you with the way they played in the second half of the season?
Yeah, the Titans have been like the Chiefs' personal boogeyman, second to the Patriots over the last few years, so I've watched a lot of them, okay? I'm actually really impressed with them. I think they play tough defense, but more importantly on offense, they've got Derrick Henry in a contract year, basically looking like a faster Jim Brown. You know, the guy's nearly 6'4", 240. And his stiff arm is ridiculous. So they built their entire offense around his ability in the zone scheme, gap scheme, to get outside and do that, and hurt teams. And the best thing they did was go to Ryan Tannehill, because guess what? He's a big athletic quarterback. He reminds me of Josh Allen, who's not making mistakes. He's playing complementary football offensively. So I've been very impressed, not just with their commitment to the run game, but the pass actions they do off of it, that Ryan Tannehill has executed without the back-breaking mistakes that got him run out of Miami. I've been very impressed with him, and I think he deserves a chance to lead that franchise going forward.
So how did he get right? How different is he now than he was when he was in Miami?
Yeah, Jim, it's just not making these killing mistakes, man. A lot of times you'll see with quarterbacks, they can really be buoyed if they're in the right system, especially if they have a good offensive line and a run game, and most importantly, an identity. Okay, the Tennessee Titans know who they are. For 20 years, they've been playing football the same way. Guess what? We're going to line up. We're going to beat you up with our giant running back. We're going to go play action off that. And guess what? If you take away our passing concepts, we got a mobile quarterback, right? From Vince Young to Mariota to Steve McNair, obviously. This is how they play. This is how those fans down there want to see it. And he fits right into the cog of, like, what they want to do offensively, the way they've long played. So a lot of times in the NFL, it's really important to remember this, guys. It's not necessarily just about the player's talent, because everybody's talented. It's about the fit and the coaching. And right now, Tannehill's getting exactly what he needs in both areas.
I think you're right. He fits them. They fit him. He's done an amazing job. He's a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter as well. The co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, Therese Paylor, my guest. Therese, great job, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming back.
Anytime, Jim.
Good time. Appreciate it. Well done. All right, so talking about the Patriots, he said, hey, listen, there are a lot of teams around the league who are watching this and watching Roger Goodell and watching to see what the league is going to do this time. The Patriots are owning it in the sense that they're saying, we know it was wrong. We understand that there was a rule that was broken. However, it was an innocent mistake. That crew has got nothing to do with football ops. They didn't know the rules. That's why they did what they did. Meantime, as I mentioned, and I want to lay it out next hour, but as I mentioned, the Bengals clearly do not think that that was an innocent mistake. Otherwise, they would not have grabbed the video, because the guy who shot the video reportedly said, oh, my bad, it's a big mistake. Listen, hey, what do you think about us just deleting this and we just keep moving? And the Bengals said to effect, no, that's not what we're going to do. Give me the video. We want to see it. And then they sent it along to the NFL. So the league has the video. I'm not exactly sure what's on the video. But apparently, they were videotaping the sideline. Lot of extra B-roll of the sideline and the field, and you cannot do that. It's against the rules. Again, the Patriots are saying, we know it's against the rules. But the guys who did it didn't know what they were doing. Innocent mistake. Nothing to see here. By that. Are they the only ones doing it, or are they being unfairly targeted? You know, that whole conversation. Also next hour, what's your beef? So get your beefs to me. Orlando Magic, Evan Fournier, guard forward joining us. All that still ahead. Stay tuned.